Thank you for joining us on WGN Extra. You can find us on the app or WGNradio.com. You know that, obviously, if you're listening
that.
To us.
I'm not listening, but I did know that.
I wasn't talking to you.
Oh.
I was talking to you in general.
Oh, the people, the other you.
Yes.
Not me, you. All right.
You know, we were talking movies with Mr. Dean Richards, and I forgot to bring this up. My son Dylan's a sophomore, finishing up school this week, one more final. And I believe in his English class, they showed The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Did you ever see that movie?
I didn't care for it.
I don't know how I feel about it. I lately have been watching things, and I find myself being kind of confused at the end, yet still really liking it. How can that be?
I liked everything about it in terms of the writer, the director, the actors, the subject matter, and I don't know if I was just expecting too much. The people I saw it with my wife and two friends, they loved it.
I liked it.
Did not work for me. And almost everybody's in your camp.
Almost, you don't know how it... Can I just say this was so funny because Dylan saw it in, I think, his English class, English or health. It was one of those classes.
Yeah.
They were caught up end of the year. They're showing a movie. It was a weird movie to have chosen, but they did. He loved it. He said, hey, you should see it. So then Michael and I watched it and we discussed afterwards and all three of us had three different takes on how it ended.
That's not the worst thing in the world. I like when they're a little ambiguous about what exactly takes place, when you leave it up to the discretion of the viewer. I'm good with that. I don't know.
I'm good with that for a discussion because it was really interesting hearing three different views of what we thought happened. But then after that, then I want to look it up and find out, okay, spoiler, tell me how it ended.
Did you ever see or hear about a movie called Eraserhead?
I love that movie.
We saw that in one of my film classes in college, and before we saw it, the instructor pointed out that the interpretation of this movie is very difficult, that everybody has different ideas, and you probably won't understand it upon the first viewing, but by the second or third, you'll understand it. I had never seen it before. So some of the kids in the class with me had seen it a few times.
David Lynch.
David Lynch's movie, right? When it was over, I said to him, I can't believe people don't know what this movie's about. I know exactly what it's about. And then I told him, I couldn't have been more wrong. I was wrong on everything I thought made sense. I was way, way off on.
The guy who played Eraserhead, I loved his hair. He went on to be in Twin Peaks and just died fairly recently, didn't he?
Yeah.
I can't remember
his
name.
And he was married to somebody famous, too, wasn't he? Or somebody famous's daughter?
Yes.
I can't remember that guy's name.
What was his name?
He looked like if John C. Reilly just went nuts. Didn't he?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know anything. Jack Nance. Does it say who he was married to? I think it was either a celebrity or a celebrity's daughter.
No, he was married to the log lady from
Twin Peaks.
Yeah, he married Catherine Coulson in 1968, but then they divorced, and then he married Jerry Van Dyke's daughter.
Yeah,
Kelly Jean Van Dyke.
Yes,
who worked in the adult film industry under the name Nancy Kelly.
She had a questionable past, Wendy.
Really?
Yes, Jerry Van Dyke's daughter worked in the adult film industry.
I didn't know that at all.
How about that?
And she committed suicide in 91.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, Eraserhead, Buzz Killman turned me on to that. Back in the day of VHSs, he gave me his own personal copy for me to watch because when Twin Peaks came out, Buzz and I loved it and talked about it every minute. And he's like, you need to see this.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
I would even recommend Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, but... I don't know. I wanted to like it. I saw it a second time on cable and felt the exact same way.
It's kind of up your alley. Like, I would see you liking that movie.
Yeah, 100%.
And boy, Jim Carrey and Kate Winslet, I really liked it, but I'm not quite sure how I feel about the end and what I feel is right. In the last few Twilight Zones, I feel stupid, but I'm not getting it. The old Twilight Zones,
they were more clear cut, right? Now they're a little more vague on what exactly took place. Yeah. Who did I just talk to last week? I was talking to somebody last week because we were talking about how Game of Thrones has, I can't even say divided people, because nearly everybody I know who saw the ending of Game of Thrones, who loved the show, hated the way it ended. Only one or two exceptions, right? So we were talking about how the ending of a show is so integral to your memory of the show. Yep. If that last episode fails, even if it was a show, Lost is a great example. I loved everything about Lost. And then that last season, it fell so far off the tracks, and it ended all awful. So they said, I guess the worst example of that is The Sopranos. I love The Sopranos, and now I can't even watch it because the ending was so bad. I go, the ending wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad at all.
I thought the ending was great.
But I heard a lot of people who did not like that ending. And again, it goes into the interpretation, and it's surprising that I even remember the end of The Sopranos, because you and I have talked about this for all the 20-plus years that I've known you.
Yeah.
I never remember the ending to things.
Oh, you don't?
No? I don't. I can't tell you how Lost ended.
I don't want to go into it because
I'll look
sad.
It up. But some of these things, I don't remember the endings.
But with the ending of Lost, I think it became apparent at some point that the guys who created Lost really didn't have it figured out. Did you see the thing? Milo Ventimiglia said he knows how This Is Us ends. It's got three more seasons to go. It's been on for 3 years. They made a deal where it's going to go three more seasons and then it's done. So they told him how it ends, and he goes, this is the most perfect ending. This is so great. So maybe that's true and maybe it's not true. But
why would they tell him? Wouldn't you not want to know that information?
What if somebody slips
you a Mickey and you spill the beans? And then Jack's killed off again.
A second time? Well, I was just thinking, like, at least these guys, the guys with This Is Us, have it mapped out to where it started, where it's playing right now, and where it's ending. With the guys on Lost, I think
they made it up as they went along.
They just went, well, there's no way to make all this stuff make sense, so we'll tack something together. They'll buy it because they love our show.
It was so good.
During the run of the show, it was great.
I got to watch it
again. But didn't you get the feeling as that last season played out, oh, they really don't know what they're doing here. They really don't.
Yeah, I don't remember how it ended.
In my head, I had this ending, and I told a friend of mine, there was this guy who loved the show I used to work with as much as me. So I said, I think I know how this thing's going to end. And I told him. He goes, you got to tell me. And I go, here's my theory. So then when the actual ending came on, he called me and he goes, your ending is 100 times better. And I go, I know, but I'm just a guy watching the show. I'm not the producers or the writers. He goes, if they would have ended it your way, that would have been like the greatest ending. They didn't do it, obviously.
It did seem like they were just trying to, like, we have, you know, five more episodes.
Right.
You know, we in the old days when we worked together and we had like a bit or something that we did, it's almost like we wrote the end first.
Sure.
So
you know how to work
through
it. Yeah. Yeah.
And you'd think in a big television show like that.
Well, a lot of novelists, a lot of TV writers, movie writers will tell you that that's the trick of writing, is know where it ends and then go build toward it.
Yeah.
And you know, I know you have to do that a little bit differently when you have a story arc of seasons and seasons. And I can't speak to Game of Thrones because, honestly, I've never seen a minute of it. So I don't know if that ending that they chose was the right one or not. I just know that from reading online and talking to friends of mine who watched the show, what a sad way to end the show with everybody going, wait, what? What'd you do?
630, we're talking about the movie that I can never remember the name, Eternal
Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
How do you remember that? That title just does not stick into my brain.
And that's
at all.
Charlie Kaufman, right? Who wrote that?
I don't know. I don't know who that is. Who is that?
He wrote
Malkovich. That is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
And I recommended that to my friend Sue, and she's like, that was 2 hours I'll never get back. I'm like, really? I loved it. You didn't like it.
I loved it. Bing John Malkovich liked it a lot.
Okay. I loved it.
Did I tell you my story about one of his scripts?
Of Kaufman?
Yeah, Charlie Kaufman. Charlie Kaufman was a writer for TV, and he was writing on the resurgence of the Carol Burnett Show.
Wow.
When they brought back Carol Burnett Show, he was one of the writers on that show. My friends Steve and Leo were also writers on the show. So Charlie had written a bunch of scripts for movies, and none of them got produced. He just wasn't selling anything. Then finally they do Being John Malkovich, and it's not only produced, but it's a hit. It made money. So all of a sudden, every producer that had one of his scripts somewhere on their shelf goes, hey, let's take a look at Charlie Kaufman's other scripts. So there was a couple that there was some interest in. So my friends sent me a script, and they said, hey, we've been asked to do punch-ups on this script. And I don't remember what they ended up calling it. It's the one that Nicolas Cage was in where he played twin brothers. It has to do with the flower industry.
Can you tell me what a punch-up is just to make it better?
Yeah, a punch-up is exactly that. So they option the script, they buy the script, and then they'll hire another writer to go through the script.
Adaptation. Okay.
But it was originally, his script was called something else. It wasn't called Adaptation. The movie version was called Adaptation. I can't remember what it was, like The Orchid Lover or something like that. It had something to do with orchids, but I don't remember.
The Orchid Thief.
The Orchid Thief? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah? All right. So, yeah, if you're punching up a script, you're hired to just hopefully make the script tighter, better, funnier, scarier, depending on what the script is. All right. So they said, this company wants to hire us to do punch-ups on the script. Read the script for what became Adaptation and tell us what you think. So they sent me the script. I read it. I said, I'm not trying to make you guys lose work. I wouldn't change a word of it. It's perfect. It's everything about it is great. It's what became Adaptation. So my friend Leo said, that's exactly what we thought. We don't turn down work when you get hired to do a job, but we said, we read it and we go, we can't make this better. It's fantastic. It's
great.
Don't
you get paid for the time you spent reading it to give your critique though?
No.
That
doesn't
seem
fair. If they hire you, you get your money there.
Oh, okay. All right.
So Leo says they're having a problem because Charlie wrote this. It's about twins and how different these twin brothers are. Nicolas Cage plays the twins. So they go, the studio's having a hard time because Charlie and his brother don't see eye to eye on a bunch of stuff. Charlie wants to do the movie one way. His twin brother wants to do it another way. He won't meet with the people from the movie company. Only Charlie goes in. They're furious that they can't get his brother in on these meetings because if he wants it one way, they want him to be there. Back and forth. And then he goes, and the interesting part is his brother doesn't really exist. And I go, wait, his brother doesn't exist? They go, no, he's just messing with them. I go, wait, he's got the movie company on the line to do this movie, and he's giving them a hard time, and he won't bring it. His brother won't show up to meetings, but
there's no brother.
They go, yeah, isn't that crazy? I go, that's brilliant. They go, it is brilliant. It's just how quirky he is.
That is out there, man, which explains Being John Malkovich and almost this eternal...
Well, if you ever see this movie Adaptation, and it's really good, it's kind of about this. It's about how similar but different these twin brothers are.
I'm going to watch that this weekend.
Yeah, it's very enjoyable. It's so strange.
Is Nicolas Cage really annoying in it? Because lately he's annoyed me.
You know, Nicolas Cage has the ability to be so great, depending on what he's in, or so horrible, they always use the phrase chew up scenery where you don't even look at anything. All you look at is you go, oh my God, Nicolas Cage, what are you doing? You know? But this is one that I would say if you're ever on the fence about Nicolas Cage,
I gotta
watch this one.
All right. And I have two words to say about Eternal
Sunshine
of the spotless mind. Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
He's fantastic in
this. Yeah, he's really good in it.
That's before
anyone knew who he was.
Yeah.
He was not famous yet.
He should have been after seeing that.
Yeah.
He's really good. Interesting movie. Highly recommend it. Someone has said movies like that should come with a warning. You might have to watch six times to understand this movie.
Right. Yeah, I would. That's accurate.
And a lot of people liking that movie, texting in as well.
So many more people like it than don't like it. It's really strange because it's such a weird, quirky movie. But sometimes when you see a movie like that and you walk away going, wait, what? I'll put the blame on myself and not on the movie. And I'll go back sometimes a year or two or 3 years later and watch it again. But I usually stick to my guns if something doesn't work. Did you ever see Tree of Life?
Yes.
Did you like that?
I think so.
Brad Pitt's in it, Jessica Chastain.
Maybe I didn't see it.
I walked out of it. There's only been a handful of movies that I've walked out of, but that one I walked out of fast because it was so awful and self-indulgent and just
awful in every way.
See, I think I see movies that I haven't even seen.
Terrence Malick is the guy who wrote and directed it. And he's got a movie that just came out at the Cannes Film Festival that people were raving about. And I'm still holding a grudge about that movie. I'm like, he almost has to make two or three great movies before I would.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see it. Either I don't remember the ending, or I guess it doesn't matter if I've seen anything, because I don't remember them.
Oh, yeah. Right, I guess.
I don't know what it is, which is kind of good, because then when I watch something, you said
it's
your wife is like this with a book.
All the time.
I'm like books. This with a movie. I had, when Michael or Robin Williams died, I had to watch 1 hour photo, yeah. And I told Jim, got to do it, got to get it. And so he goes, Wendy, we've seen that. I said, no, we have not. And I watched the whole thing, and I swear it's the last 15 minutes, and I'm like, Jim, you're right, we've seen this. It was still really good, and I liked it. But why wouldn't there be some, like, hey, you've seen this?
There should be
There's
some
no
recollection.
None.
Terry did that with a novel a couple of years ago. It was the second to the last page when she goes, oh, I've read this. And I go, you were a page away from the very end? She goes, yeah, it didn't hit me until the end that I had read it. She'd read it two summers prior.
And how long is it?
Regular novel size,
like,
you know?
Like 500 pages?
No, not that long, but 250, 300.
All right, well, that might be worse than me. Or we're actually in the same boat,
but
and it's sinking.
There was nothing in the movie, in 1 hour photo, that you go, oh, yeah, this scene again. I remember watching this. No?
I mean, it. No.
No? Interesting.
The only movie I remember frame by frame is Major League 1 and 2.
Well, for obvious reasons.
Which my son, Michael,
changed the world of film forever.
It's in his queue on Netflix, and he's like, hey, you know, we got to watch this. You know, I want to watch it with you. Bill Leff is in both of them. And I'm like, I don't have time.
Thanks for that.
We're going to watch it this weekend.
Oh, you'll see.
It's a great movie.
I love Major League.
Oh, thank you. Thank
love
you.
Major League.
Thank you. Thanks.
But Michael just wants to watch it because
I'm in it?
Yeah.
Well.
Wild thing.
Yeah.
You're great.
Well, thanks. All right. We'll take a break. Kim has the news for you, and then there's more discussion to be had. It's Bill and Wendy on WG.
82.
That's 82.
So nice and no rain.
Oh, perfect.
I'm getting ready for it.
I am too.
Meaning what?
Summer.
Oh, yeah.
It's about time.
Yeah.
Still haven't put my shovel away yet. I'm not even
not
kidding.
Not yet. Give it a couple more weeks at least.
All right. I'm going to be the only one that likes this. I'm a bit of a fast food junkie, and I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer the truth. Do either of you like fried chicken? God, you're no fun.
Well,
either of you. You don't like fried chicken, Bill?
I do like it.
I don't like things with bones in it. So I do like a good chicken tender.
All right, that's my husband is like that too. Jim cannot have like fried chicken, but if you get him chicken tenders, he's all over.
Right. Yeah. That's why I hesitated.
Okay.
Because I didn't know if it had to be like bone-in chicken.
Well, KFC began serving something in Indonesia, and it is the best part of the fried chicken. Any guesses?
The beak.
What is wrong with you?
I'm going to say the gizzard, the liver, the gizzard,
the skin.
They're just skin?
Fried
just
chicken skin.
So
that is the
fries?
Best part.
Ooh. Wow.
I told you I'd be the only one.
Yeah, you're the only one.
Jasmine, are you with me at all? Do you like chicken skin?
No.
Oh, God.
Just the skin.
Good. Let's order it for lunch. More for me.
You're going to fry up just chicken
skin? They're going to serve bags of crisp fried chicken skin. The skin is the best part. When you're having a piece of fried chicken, you pull off the skin. And you don't like that crunchy skin?
No, not into the skin.
KFC is offering bags of chicken skin at 6 locations in Indonesia. In the Philippines, for example, KFC launched Cracklings. It's a snack version of the fried skin.
Oh, sure.
It's like pork rinds, but with flavor.
Right.
Well, when I was growing up, or, you know, like back in the day, there's a Yiddish word they used to, like, fry up chicken fat. Called gribnitz, and people used to eat that. I think it's very similar. It's just the fat from the chicken.
Gribnitz.
Fried it.
But
yeah.
Is there breading on it?
I don't know. I don't remember. I mean, these are like what my bubby used to do.
Would it be okay if I use that just as a swear word?
Yeah. What are you going to do?
God, gribnitz. I'm just going to say that from time to time.
It. Is that a good word?
Yeah, gribnitz is going to be fun.
Exactly
like if
how
I'm,
it's described.
Let's say I'm hammering something. I'm hammering a nail, but I hit my thumb instead. I will then yell out, gribnitz, like that.
comes right up.
I'm going to say it.
Perfect.
All right. I'm saying it from now on.
All right.
On.
Well, I'm excited
Old
about
world
it.
Culinary practice.
Some people say that the portions are too small and the fried skin is a little too salty. But I'm telling you.
Well, the thing is, in Europe, all the portions are smaller than here. All of our portions in America are ridiculous.
Right.
All over the world. I mean, I know Indonesia's not Europe, but.
Our small, like if you go into a fast food place and get a small Pepsi or a Coke,
right.
That's the equivalent of a large or an extra right. large in other countries.
The other day, my nephew was in town and he wanted a Frappuccino at Starbucks and he wanted just a tall one. And he's a big guy.
Yeah.
And he ordered a caramel Frappuccino and it came and I looked at him like, this looks like a mini milkshake.
Right.
It was so small because like, I'm so used to seeing the big one.
Giant
right. The
size.
Tall. And that's weird because the tall is the small one,
it's
right?
It's really tiny.
Or grande.
Which is probably what you should have.
Right.
Yeah, we don't need the portions as big as we do. Do you remember in the old days you'd go to, this was years ago when I was a little kid, you'd go to an Italian restaurant and you would get so much pasta you didn't know what to do
right,
with.
You could feed a family of five.
But now they've kind of curtailed that. Like if you go to a good restaurant,
yeah.
the portions are pretty
yeah,
much,
but
they're still,
still
a little
go
large.
Places like, you know, I don't know, Rosebud or somewhere like that, you
right.
could still like split it three ways.
Right, right,
and the
right,
meatballs
right.
are as big as your head.
Right. Gribnitz.
Gribnitz.
Well, now,
like if I'm playing baseball, could you say, "Oh, that guy got hit right in the Gribnitz"? And people would go, "Yeah, I know what you're going for."
But all right, so it's dumpling made of matzo meal, eggs, and traditionally schmaltz, which I think
which
of Nick
fat.
Schmaltz, and it
the,
means chicken
the baseball
fat.
Player?
Schmaltz
yeah.
is chicken fat.
So is Gribnitz and schmaltz the same thing?
That was
I think
a publishing
are in
firm.
Gribnitz.
Gribnitz and Schmaltz had a publishing firm, Wendy, on Michigan
wait,
for years.
Let's find exactly
Gribnitz. That was the number three least used baby name of 2018.
Really? Because I know twins named Schmaltz and Gribnitz.
Yeah, some kids have it, but it's very rare.
There's a recipe on how to make Schmaltz and Gribnes. Gribnes.
Yeah, Gribnitz.
Mmm. Yeah. That sounds tasty.
All right, well, that's just chicken fat. This is
you
like,
wouldn't okay. feel bad about yourself. Like, if you went in, let's say KFC, instead of just having it in Indonesia, they had it here.
I would try it.
You wouldn't feel bad ordering up a bag of just fried skin? Chicken skin?
Well, it would get old very quickly. Like, I would split it with somebody.
Yeah.
I wish that fried chicken had more. And in this day and age, everything I ever make is kind of a boneless, skinless chicken breast. So uh-huh. you never.
But fried chicken's had a big resurgence.
Yeah.
I love
especially
fried
like
chicken.
Especially in Nashville, like
right.
the hot chicken.
I don't like that.
No.
I don't
like
feel
that.
Like.
Because
that's,
why?
It's just hot to be hot.
Too spicy for you?
Yeah, I don't love spicy.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like some spice, but.
I like the Popeyes. Popeyes chicken is so good.
Yeah.
They do a good
you would
job
love
with
the
it.
The wedding that I went to.
I was the
Everybody
kid.
Everybody got Popeyes for the late night.
Did they really?
Yeah, because the groom's dad owns Popeyes franchises. And
perfect.
At late night, they had this chicken sandwiches and the tenders and biscuits and a whole
yeah.
little thing. It was really cool
nice.
And really cute.
I was that kid whenever we like went out as a family. Everywhere we went, I would order fried chicken. I just
really?
Loved fried chicken. And they'd come back to the
grown
table.
Up in Kentucky with
I know.
Me.
And then they'd come back and say, you know, it's going to be 45 minutes. I'm like, I don't care.
Worth
and of course,
wait.
Like my mom and my brother and my sister are like,
roll their eyes.
45 minutes. I'm like, I'll wait. Let them eat. I'd need my right. fried chicken.
We only had KFC. When I was growing up, we had
I
Kentucky
never
Fried
ate
Chicken
that.
Maybe once or twice a year. That was it.
We never had KFC.
Never?
Probably because there wasn't one near us.
Right.
We were more of a Browns
oh,
chicken.
Oh, yeah. Browns were more prevalent then than
See,
they are now.
See, for me, growing up, KFCs were everywhere.
Oh, yeah, Kentucky
you
Fried
know.
Chicken.
I mean, everywhere.
Yeah.
Just as plentiful as McDonald's.
Yeah.
Now, even in Louisville, you don't see as many, but they do have some big ones.
Yeah, I
and
would
Then for
imagine.
A while, we had a KFC / Taco Bell. Like, they were
oh, that's heaven.
Side by side
oh.
in the same restaurant.
Yeah.
Get a chalupa and, you know, some original recipe.
That's become a bigger thing as companies have taken over other companies. You see a lot of like Baskin Robbins and Dunkin' Donuts
right.
in the same building.
Right.
Now.
We'll see like in Louisville, that's the Yum Brands owns KFC.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's headquartered in Louisville. So they were trying out these different concepts
yeah.
of like the side by side or putting two together.
Yeah. Dairy Queen has Orange Julius in them now.
Right.
That never used to be
Orange
a thing.
Julius is still a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
See,
I gotta
get out of Brookfield
like,
once in a while.
Yeah.
I like Dole Whip, but I don't like Orange Julius.
I loved it when I was a kid. I don't know if they've changed the recipe or if my taste buds are just more grown up.
But you don't like
now.
It as much?
It's okay. Grown up.
It has a funny taste. Funny
yeah,
flavor
it's not,
or aftertaste.
It's not
or
the
something.
Way I remember
yeah.
it.
Nah.
Yeah. The first one that opened by us, the first one was in Ford City, and there were people. It was such a new concept. There was nothing like it. There were lines. And then they opened one up in Lincoln Mall, and we would go there every once in a while. Because they started out, it was just Orange Julius.
Right, and then it expanded.
Then they expanded to Pineapple
yeah,
and Grape and a couple others.
We had one in our mall.
That was it.
Louisville. Just one.
Yeah, yeah. I can't even imagine just getting chicken, fried chicken skin and feeling good about myself.
Well,
I'd feel
you know.
I would apologize to strangers. I'd go, I'm sorry. I've given up on
what
myself.
For lunch, chicken skin.
Right. Oh, health food junkie, are you?
I'm looking
yeah.
forward to it.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't
you
eat it as a meal.
I have to tell you, I'm really looking forward to the fact that Burger King is going to make a veggie
yeah.
burger Whopper. Now, that
well,
is exciting
not,
to me.
Yeah. They're not calling them veggies,
yeah,
right?
Well, it's Beyond Burger or whatever it is.
I think it's the Impossible.
That is so
Orient on line three, Wendy. Orient
yeah,
on
I'm
line
not
three.
Getting involved in this.
Uh-oh.
Sound.
Okay, sorry,
uh-oh.
We won't bring it up.
Do you have any inside information? International House of Pancakes, or as they like to refer to themselves as IHOP, changed their name a year ago. They changed their name for a little while.
Right. They did it for a day. It was a publicity stunt. They changed it right.
But I saw they might do it again.
They are doing it again.
For one day?
Well, the last time it was IHOB.
They were introducing their new burgers.
They had hamburgers. This time, they're not saying what it is yet. I think they're disclosing it next week.
I think it'll be chicken, and it's IHOC. And that's not going to go very well.
It doesn't sound good.
Or clams. They're going to specialize in clams and IHOC.
Okay, you want to talk about fried clams?
Love them.
You like
Howard
that?
Johnson's.
Oh, yeah. Forever.
Oh, yeah.
That's just like fried chicken fat, technically.
Oh, I don't think so.
No.
For how tiny the clams are.
God, I mean, there's a lot of fried going on there, but I haven't either. But
were your
I used
memory
to love
of Howard
those.
Johnson's pleasant? Did you
Mine
like
were
going?
Great. We always stayed at a Howard Johnson's Motor Lodge.
All of my memories.
Yeah.
We used to go there a lot.
Yeah. You couldn't avoid. There was a time where you couldn't avoid them. They were just everywhere.
My
wherever you were going, they had them.
We always went there. We had the same waitress. Her name was Sue. We had the whole thing. And
yeah.
they gave. I remember this so fondly because I get. The children's menu, and when your plate was clean, there was some kind of kids scene on the bottom of the plate.
Right.
And then you'd get those cool lollipops on the way out that
the
were like the chocolate
ones.
And white.
Kim,
with
thank
the different
you for remember.
Scenes.
Nobody remembers those
that
but you and me.
That was like, because I don't love real lollipops, and that to me, to get a chocolate lollipop was amazing.
They had a whole stand of them, Wendy, and you could pick out, there were 40 or 50 different ones. They were stunning.
Like, was it etched into the chocolate,
no,
the scene?
No, it was almost like a picture, like printed on there, but with chocolate.
It was raised chocolate.
Yeah.
So the one that I'll never forget, because we used to go to one when we'd visit my grandparents in Michigan. So we stopped there. I got one that had Batman and Robin on it with them in a dynamic running pose. I put it on the back, you know, of the car.
When it melted?
And it melted.
Aww.
And then when we went back on the way home, they didn't have the Batman and Robin anymore.
I always remember buying a Ferris wheel one. I don't know
oh,
why.
Oh, cool.
Can
I'm
I
so glad you remember those. Nobody remembers those.
I am so happy your mom stopped on the way home to let you at least attempt to get another one. And that's how much she
that
loved
was nice.
You.
But
that's where I started eating fried clams because my grandfather
Howard
was like,
Johnson's.
You have to try these. I'm like, oh, no. He's like, try them.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I did.
And kids don't usually like fried clams.
No, that's why I was shocked that I liked them.
Because there's they're an acquired taste, as people say sometimes.
Sure.
Right? They don't taste great.
There's not hardly any clammage in there. It's
bread.
It's mostly
breading.
Bread.
Yeah.
Right.
And you guys just made fun of the chicken fat. It's just a fried item.
But at least with this, they're telling you that there's some percentage
thing,
of clam.
Skin is like chewy.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I guess clams could be considered chewy too.
Yeah,
but there's something about just ripping skin.
Right.
I don't know. It just
it's very barbaric.
Yeah.
Oh God, listen. Right. Like ripping a clam in your teeth
you
is not.
Have you seen a picture of these things? Like, do they look like a fry?
I didn't see
Does
a
it
picture.
Look like a flat. I'd be curious to see what it looked like.
I just
how they're shaping.
I don't
it.
Know if they don't show them, Wendy.
Maybe.
No.
Maybe more
there is they're in Indonesia.
If,
they'll probably never make it here.
Yeah,
Americans
right.
don't need it, trust
no.
me.
No.
One time at a Howard Johnson's, this is when we were driving to Florida, so it must have been somewhere in either Georgia or Tennessee, and we stopped and had lunch in one, and there was a Rotary Club meeting going on in the same room that we were dining in. So everybody who was there, I mean, the people who were there for the Rotary Club meeting got what they bargained for, but for the rest of us, we were then involved in the Rotary. We got
right.
to hear everything they were discussing. And I remember, even though I was a little kid, I'm like, I am never joining a Rotary Club.
Well, I don't even know what a Rotary Club is.
Got to be honest. I don't either.
I think it's like,
I don't know.
It's
you said it so matter-of-factly.
Well, it's like it's they're making decisions for what's going on in the community,
right, yeah,
for the most part.
Or sponsor. They sponsor.
Yeah, we'll sponsor
in the
stuff.
Community. You know, they do good things for
right,
the community.
Right. But their meetings, with all due respect to anybody who's in a Rotary Club, go on for a long time.
Yeah, I actually, when I was reporting in Louisville, I used to have to go to the Rotary Club meeting because they would get the big speakers, kind of like City Club
yeah,
of Chicago
sure.
here. And you'd have to listen to all of the Rotary Club things
yeah,
before
the
speakers started. Yeah.
Right.
They like
well,
to
Rotary
go along.
International is a nonprofit organization, international service organization whose stated purpose is to bring together businesses and professional leaders in order to provide humanitarian service
yes.
and to advance goodwill and peace around the world.
Yes.
So if there's a Rotary Club in your area,
there
it's
is.
To promote ethical leadership, professional success, and friendship among
I think
the
they're
club members.
In most communities.
I think they're everywhere.
Yeah, there
you
are.
Always
I need
it,
to join one.
When you're driving into a town, it'll say, welcome to Glen Ellen. And right. then there'll be Rotary a small club. Placard that says,
yeah. Highland Park has
Rotary club.
A Rotary Club. I'm
yeah.
sure of it.
How to join a Rotary Club? I need to know.
Who gets turned down?
Me. I will be.
You get rejected from a Rotary Club?
Oh, you have to train. Or participate in a leadership role within your local club.
I'm not going
to
do that.
Oh, my God. Rotarian membership is by invitation only.
Oh, wow.
I can't just go join the Rotary Club.
No, you can't.
You can be invited to join the club by someone who's already a member, or you can start attending a few meetings before filling out your own prospective member form.
Well, let's join it. Let's form our own Rotary Club and not let other Rotary Clubs
That's
in.
That's right.
I want to be in a push-button club.
I remember just like during this whole meeting, just staring at them, just going, run. Just look, the door's right there.
Wear,
get out, run.
Do they wear like hats like the Shriners?
No,
it's non-political, non-religious.
Right.
It's a humanitarian organization.
It was all business. There was no fun to be had at this meeting.
They do projects.
But the Shriners weren't religious, were they?
The Shriners, I think, are based in some religion, aren't they?
Oh, I
think
know. They are. I didn't think they were. My grandfather was a member of.
I think they are.
I think.
Like the Masonic Temple or something?
Yeah. Is that a
That Masonic Temple is religious.
Well, the Masons aren't
Yeah, that's
religious.
What my grandfather was, a Mason. Yeah.
I think they
Shriners
are.
Shriners are not affiliated with any one particular religion, and there's no requirement to follow a particular faith.
Oh, I thought they were had uh-uh. some sort of common ground with the Masons.
No, the Masons aren't religious either.
No?
Masonic Shriners.
But do you think all those organizations are, unfortunately, things of the past? Or
I know they still exist. I don't know if membership you would imagine, because, you know.
Yeah, because you got to wait for an invitation.
Right. Right.
I wonder if Rotarians know how to send an e-vite.
I don't know. I just want to be asked to be in one, and then I will turn them down gently.
It's almost like pledging a fraternity or sorority.
It is.
Again.
It is. They say, will you attend boring meetings 3 times a month?
All right, I stand corrected.
No. We won't paddle you.
No.
The denomination with the longest history of objection to Freemasonry is the Catholic Church. The objections raised by Catholic Church are based on allegations that Masonry teaches a naturalistic deistic religion, which is in conflict with the church doctrine. But Masons are, there are three called Entered Apprentice, Fellow Craft, and Master Mason. These names are taken from the craft guilds in
what
the middle.
What about Marcia Mason? Has she mentioned it all? She's
Marcia Mason.
She's fantastic.
They believe in Freemasons. They believe that Freemasonry is its own religion, requires belief in a unique Masonic God, and that belief in this Masonic God is contrary to the teachings of mainstream religions.
Oh,
so I guess
it is.
I guess you win on that. I didn't know that.
I got hired when I was doing stand up to do. There's a huge Masonic temple somewhere in Indiana, and I got hired to do a whole weekend there. Just a Friday and Saturday. And when I showed up, like I was wearing a jacket and a tie and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the guy goes, "Where's your tuxedo?" And I go, "Where's my tuxedo? I don't have a tuxedo. I'm not James Bond." He goes, "Yeah, you gotta. If you're performing for the Masons, you gotta wear a tuxedo." So he gave me, no, he gave me the one he was wearing. Now, this is a guy that was 2 inches shorter than me and 50 pounds heavier. So the fit was a little bit.
Well, it looked like you were playing dress up. Do you have a picture of that still?
No, it would have been horrible. But the crowd was very peculiar in that the youngest people there were in their 70s. And then, like, their parents.
You're an ageist.
They were old. That was the, like, usually if you do a big room, you get a little bit of a mixture. But it was 70s and up. And not big on the laughter. You know, and I guess
they all in Texas. Were they all in Texas?
Every one of them.
Wow.
And I mean, there was never any. And the guy said to me when we were done on the second night, he goes, "You know, if you ever work for the Masons again, you got to get a tuxedo." And I go, "I didn't know that was a thing." You know, because normally when you would work, they would always give you restrictions, like you can't do this, you can't say this, you can't wear this. But with this, there was no mention. And I did. I was wearing a suit and a tie and stuff. It just wasn't a tuxedo.
Mm.
But they didn't laugh.
Do you have a top hat?
Wendy, you always bring a top hat.
It's always
you.
In your trunk, isn't
you
it?
You gotta, yeah, just for safety reasons. All right, Kim, thank you for hanging out. Greatly appreciated. Again,
thanks,
today's
Kim.
Password,
thank
grub nuts. Grib nuts?
No, nits.
Grib nits. Grape nuts. I'm going to change to grape nuts. All right, we'll close things off in a minute. It's Bill and Wendy on W.
It is time for us to bid adieu. Adieu.
Wendy, first of all, it's always fun when you speak French on the show. Second of all, merci. We still have 71 seconds. I'm not going anywhere until our time is in the bank.
All right, well, I'll talk to you tomorrow then.
Come on. You don't have 71 seconds in you?
Well, now it's only 61, so I guess.
So you're saying the key to this is long pauses?
No.
Wait, don't answer yet. Let's think about it.
Oh, no.
Let's think about it.
I'm really out of juice.
Tomorrow's Friday, which at this point in the show should amaze you, because every week, because I told you what day's coming up, you've been amazed. You're not amazed.
No,
tomorrow's
today
Friday.
I'm all caught up.
You're all caught up.
Yeah.
Well, that was easy. That was easy. Jerry Nunn will be by.
Oh, tomorrow's Jerry?
Tomorrow is Nunn on the Run, Wendy. Jerry will tell us things to see in and around Chicago for the month of June. How he picks which month is beyond me. That's his magic thing. I don't know how he does it.
I love when he comes by.
Yes.
Did you see the rainbow sidewalk in Boys Town for Pride Month?
Not only
did
I. Oh, time's up.
All right, well, we'll talk about this tomorrow. Really
I did see it. Fun. I did see it. All right, we'll talk to Jerry Nunn on the Run tomorrow during the bonus hour. Join us then. Bye, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.